2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sports Saturday is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Nation, what's happening? And welcome into Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Matt Biamonte, Mitch Harper. Even though we're in the thick of offseason with football, BYU basketball is rolling along. They got a nice win on Thursday. They play tonight another home game against Portland. So plenty of hoops, plenty of football as we get a little nearer to spring football, Mitch.
That's right, Matt. And we've got a loaded show as always. Gunnar Romney, BYU wide receiver, going to be joining the program to discuss why he's coming back for another year with the BYU football program. Also joining the show will be BYU basketball assistant Cody Feger as the Cougars, as Matt mentioned, get ready tonight to play the Portland Pilots, which you can hear right here on KSL News Radio with coverage beginning at 6, tip-off at 7 from the Marriott Center, BYU and the Portland Pilots. So we'll talk football, basketball, and also some Big 12 talk as well, and that's where we start things off in the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
BYU to the Big 12 Conference, we know that. 2023 will be a historic year for BYU, but one of the things that's got to be figured out between now and then is where BYU lands within the Big 12 Conference. Divisions have been a hot topic this week, Matt, as there was a report from CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd, who noted that Big 12 athletic directors, even the future ones, Tom Homo included, have had meetings about those potential divisions, and it sounds like there's going to be two 7-team divisions when BYU joins the Big 12 Conference in 2023. So how do you want to see these divisions shake out for BYU?
I want to see them shake out east and west. I think the chatter right now, and we've seen some articles, as you mentioned, I think there's a couple trains of thought coming out of these meetings. Staying competitive is one of them. You don't want an unbalanced east-west situation like we see in the Big Ten, where it's not balanced. It's not like how Ohio State and Michigan did not end up in different divisions in the Big Ten is kind of dumb. That the Ohio State division is just loaded with the best teams. So I totally get that, but I think east and west makes the most sense for a couple reasons. One, there's a very simple way to draw a line halfway down the country and to get it fair and competitive. Because if it were me, if we're talking about the seven teams, so we're including Oklahoma and Texas, I want BYU to be lumped with Kansas State. I want them to be lumped with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. And then I would throw them in with, you got to have a Texas presence as well. I'm really big on that. I don't think it should just be Texas versus everyone else. the two nearest teams on the west side would be TCU and Texas Tech. And I think that's fair because you would put Baylor, Iowa State, Cincinnati, West Virginia, UCF. All those teams have had great seasons recently. I think that would be fair. It would be competitive. And the number one reason that I want this is there still needs to be an element of regional play. And because if it's north and south, BYU's travel is going to be significant. And in football, it's not that big of a deal because you would only play some of these teams every other year. You've got the home element, so it's not like you're making multiple trips across the country. But I still want that to be reduced as much as possible because there's a reason these power teams, a lot of them, they never leave their state in non-conference, and they play so close because it's hard. It's hard to travel across time zones. We just saw it in the bowl game. You go down to Shreveport, you're not motivated, the time, the weather, like it all matters. So I think it makes the most sense to try and keep travel as compact as you can with East and West.
Yeah, I proposed my divisions on KSLSports.com, and you can go check out that piece. This is the division I think I'd like to see in the Big 12 Conference. And I factored in the Texas presence, as you noted. I also think that geography, honestly, in my opinion, shouldn't matter. I don't think that
really
should be a line of thought at all in creating these divisions. Because, and I say this, I think competitive balance needs to be the bigger component at play. Because the Big 12 Conference, is as much as it pains me to say this, there's going to be a perception battle that this league has to overcome. It's always going to be viewed as the fifth best league.
Yeah.
You're always going to see these national writers in college sports say, well, will the Big 12 Conference be able to maintain its autonomous power status? Look, they're going to be a power conference. I think what it means by that is, will they be able to still, in the next iteration of the playoff, get the full equal share to the likes of SEC, Big Ten? Will they get equal financial distribution? That's going to be the big question that maybe determines power status or not, but the power conference label will remain with the Big 12. But I think competitive balance should be the bigger component here, and they got to figure out a way. I think there's an easy solution here. I think you're going to have in this new Big 12, I'm not factoring in Texas and Oklahoma into this equation when I think of the divisions. Because,
you'd split them up, though, right?
Yeah, I would split them up. They're going to be factored in for potentially two seasons, 2023 and 2024. But my divisions would look like this. I would have BYU, Cincinnati, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, TCU, and Texas Tech. In the other division, I would have Baylor, UCF, Houston, Kansas, Kansas State, and West Virginia. This is how I broke it down. There's going to be six legacy members of the Big 12. Split them in half, and legacy meaning the ones that were part of the Big 12 when it was created in 1996. There's also going to be two members that have been invited to the league in the past decade in TCU and West Virginia, split them up, and then split up the four new members to each in each division. I think that way, that creates competitive balance because then it's not a overwhelming amount of programs that have been in power conference football for a long period of time. So from a financial perspective, those teams are spread out. I think this would be a competitive divisions, and I think that geography should not be the end-all be-all here with this format. Because then in basketball, then you focus more on geography and things like that, and maybe have different divisions in basketball, because Bob Bowlsby did note in my interview with him back in October, he said that it's likely they'll create divisions for basketball too. Didn't say whether or not it will be different, but that is possible that they could have different divisions for basketball.
If I were ranking things of importance, definitely number one, competitive balance. And there's a number of ways you can slice and dice it. If you want to have some of those breakdowns you talked about, even in East-West format, you could go Houston in the West, TCU to the – I still think, though, geography does need to play a little bit of a factor. And here's, I think, the number one reason why is the more trips you're making, the more money it costs. And look, the Big 12 is not going to have the same revenue as a Big 10 or an SEC. And the more money you spend on having to travel around and do all this stuff, the less you have to improve facilities, the less you have for recruiting budgets. It's less. So I don't want that to be a deciding factor. It's not geography number one for me, but I would prefer, if there's a way, and I think there is, as I just laid out, to have the competitive balance first, make sure that, you know, there's some legacy, there's some new second, but also let's factor in some geography as well. Because I don't want BYU to have Cincinnati, Iowa, all these teams where you're constantly going sometimes two time zones. I'd like to avoid that if it's possible.
And this brings up our poll of the day too, which we'll discuss throughout the afternoon over these next 3 hours here on Cougar Sports Saturday. So settle in and get your BYU fix, as we're going to talk a lot of football here over the next 3 hours. You can follow us on Twitter at KSL Sports, at Biamonte Matt, at Mitch underscore Harper. What area does BYU need to improve most between now and their first season in the Big 12 Conference? Because regardless of the divisions, how those shake out, there's got to be some internal growth for this BYU football program and the athletic department as a whole. We're focusing on football. What area does BYU need to improve the most between now and that first season in the Big 12 Conference? And 75% of you are saying more depth. Do you agree with that, Matt?
I chose more depth. I'm not going to lie. I chose more depth. I think that the second half of that season really showed that there was not enough depth. My only question with the depth, though, is I feel like there is depth, and I question why some guys didn't play. I still don't fully understand why defensively, specifically, there were so many position changes in the middle of the year. If you're trying to build depth, how do you build depth if you don't give the second, third, and fourth stringers opportunities when there are injuries? Because there will be. And this, BYU's defensive coordinator, Elisa Tuiaki, and that staff, historically speaking, in the past 5 years, have opted to move people around defensively rather than playing guys in that position room. So I chose more depth, but in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, well, how do these guys develop more depth, because they're not playing the third and fourth stringers when they have opportunities?
Some of the options that we gave: more depth, better facilities, better top-end talent, scheme changes. I think that right now BYU still got to get better top-end talent. I think that, and I say that because...
So you disagree with Tate Harmon here, who says top-end talent already coming in. We need depth on defense.
I think there is some guys coming in, of course, with Kingsley Suamataia, potentially, you know, maybe Jackson Dart. Even we'll discuss that, of course, because Jackson Dart's got it down to maybe BYU, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. We'll get the latest on what's going on with Jackson Dart, the heralded quarterback from Corner Canyon, who just transferred away from USC. But I still think that, you know, BYU, they're getting the Kingsleys. I think Jaron Hall is an elite talent. But I still think that, you know, position by position, we saw against Baylor, you know, BYU did not match up as well with Baylor. And BYU was relatively healthy, all things considered, at that point. They didn't have Keenan Peely, yes. But I still think the top 22 at BYU can get better, because I think their starters got to be I think they've got to get more 4- and 5-star guys. That's going to be needed to win a power conference, and there just hasn't been enough yet. One Kingsley Suamataia does not mean that the top-end talent is just completely loaded. BYU's top 22 has got to get better, because I look at, like, next season, I think the secondary's got some questions. You know, I think Caleb Hayes is going to be really good. I think Malik Moore is going to be good at safety. He's got a thing going on today down at Lehigh at Wingstop, so maybe go check in on Malik Moore, see what he's doing to get ready for this season. But, you know, I think that there's some spots, though, where I think that the starters are not maybe, would you say, Big 12 ready, if that's even a term. That might be a poor choice of words. It's like the NBA ready or NFL ready. That's kind of a lame term. But, you know, I just have some questions there at the top end of the roster, because I actually do like the depth. I think, you know, you think about some of the positions at linebacker with a Josh Wilson, or
he, like, barely played. That was my point.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there is talented depth players. You know, quarterback Jacob Conover, Cade Finnegan, Soljay Maiava-Peters. There's depth. I just think, again, the top end has got to get better between now and when BYU gets to the Big 12, and that's going to come down to recruiting and getting more 4- and 5-star guys. You can't just sit on your hands and say one Kingsley Suamataia is enough to say the top-end talent is where it should be.
We'll continue breaking this down. You can text us 57500 on this other side. We'll break this down a little further. What needs to happen for BYU football to be ready to go to the Big 12? We want to hear you. Tweet us, Mitch underscore Harper, KSL Sports, Biamonte Matt. We'll get your texts, get your tweets on this topic on the other side. We're just getting started here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Welcome back in. It's Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Each and every Saturday, all season long, we're talking BYU sports, football, basketball, everything BYU related. And right now, earlier in the week, some news is starting to leak out that the Big 12, because this is something that's got to be figured out soon-ish, because you want to be able to anticipate these things and get ready for how life is going to be in the Big 12. They're talking about how they're going to shake down on the conference situation. And it made us think, you know, look, and Tom Holmoe made this clear when he announced the unprecedented extension for Kalani Sitake. They're trying to ramp up as quick as they can to get ready for Power 5 football and being in the best basketball conference in all of college basketball. It's been that way for the better part of a decade now. There's a lot that has to get done. So we asked you on our Cougar Sports Saturday poll, what area does BYU football need to improve most between now and their first season in the Big 12? The majority of you saying more depth. That's what I said. Mitch thinks it should be better top-end talent. My only argument to that would be, if you look at 2020 and 2021, their top-end talent was undefeated. It was when injuries started to creep in that they had issues. So who knows what happens in the Baylor game if you're if you have a full defensive state. Look, and you and I have been critical of the defense, and we want to hit on all of these bullet points here in the segment, talk about where they are, but are we going to be critical of the defense if Keenan Peely plays the whole year, if they don't have some issues at defensive tackle with health, because Lorenzo Fawatea missed more than half the season. So that's my only thing, where the top-end talent has just been winning the past couple of years. So is that really the issue in terms of being able to sustain this at a higher level of football?
I think my argument to that would be that the top-end talent, they're developing guys from three stars into five stars, which is ultimately the name of the game. You want these guys to be five stars leaving BYU, not when they – I mean, it'd be great to have when they're arriving at BYU as a five-star. But I just think that naturally they got to get more four- and five-star kids. And look, I'm not just saying that BYU is suddenly going to have a windfall of elite recruits falling into their laps, because they're still going to be, as Mark Pope talks all the time, a filter when it comes to BYU recruiting, and that applies to football too. But I just think that if you're going to want to win a Big 12, and I feel like, Matt, there's an opportunity going into this new Big 12 that BYU could be a contender. I think as far as brand prestige, I think BYU's got the best football brand in this new Big 12. I do. I think it's a better football brand than Oklahoma State. I think it's a better football brand than Baylor. The brand of BYU football is real, and I think that this fan base is going to be more energized than ever before. I feel like you should be able to get in the doors of more Cormani McClain's. If you can get guys like that, a lockdown corner as a five-star, that to me is where I just feel like, because BYU's top 22 is always pretty dang good, but it's been a lot of, you know, two- and three-star guys turning into really good college players. They need the guys that day one, they step foot on campus, they can be game changers. And I think that's just needed when you're trying to contend for a Power 5 title.
More Gunnar Omnes, who will be joining us right here in 30 minutes, top of hour number two. So it'll be interesting to catch up with Gunnar Omnes. I think, how do you feel about the scheme? Right now, that's in third place. So more depth is far and away getting the majority of the votes in the poll. Then better top-end talent. And then in third place, just a little over 5% scheme changes. How are you feeling about the scheme on both sides of the ball?
Well, I feel like offensively, BYU's in a great place. And how crazy is it to think that there was once a time where a vocal minority of BYU fans did not want Aaron Roderick on the staff because they thought, well, Kalani would just be hiring his buddy. Like, the narrative on Aaron Roderick has drastically changed over the last 4 years. Even Utah fans thought he was damaged goods when he got fired from Utah. I think the offense is in a great place. Defensively, I'm not an anti-drop eight per se, because you watch the teams like Georgia. Georgia's playing a lot of drop eight. Drop eight is a common thing in college football these days. I just feel like there's too much like hockey substitutions. You know, I know Riley Nielsen brings that up a lot in BYU Sports Network broadcast, which you hear on KSL News Radio. There's always these – it feels like there can't be this continuity or this consistency of guys getting – knowing their role – each and every game. I get it, on the defensive line, you're going to rotate guys. But I think there's just not this core group that leads the defense. And I feel like the eye in the sky don't lie. I mean, what we saw the back half of last season was not good defensively. I mean, you can look at some of the numbers and point to certain stats that would tell a great story. But, I mean, you watch what BYU did against UAB. UAB, their quarterback who was dealing with the flu, and it was questionable that he was even going to play, he set independent school record for completion percentage, like 82%. That's just not good enough. That's got to get better, and there's got to be more pressure on those quarterbacks. And I think that has got to be something that needs to be addressed. And I know that Elisa Tuiaki has came on this show and said that sacks aren't the end-all be-all. And I do agree with that to some extent, but I do feel like from a momentum and a what we saw it do for BYU in that same Independence Bowl where Tyler Batty gets a sack and then a TFL back-to-back plays, that energized the sideline that was dead. And I just think that that's something that needs to happen more often. And, you know, I think that's where those guys, there's a great brain trust there on that defense. They've got a lot of continuity there. They've got to make some serious adjustments because what's currently happening this past year on defense, I don't think we'll get it done week in, week out in the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't love the defensive scheme. I think that's no secret if you've listened to the show. There's got to be more blitzing. There's got to be more disguise. It just feels like this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it, and that just doesn't cut it, I think, in college football. You got to be willing to try everything to slow down some of the better offenses.
But fans shouldn't be upset about drop eight.
No.
Because drop eight is a common thing in college football. It really is. Like, Georgia, the national champ, does it a lot, often. I think it's just maybe putting the right players at the right spots. That can also go a long way, too, when it comes to the scheme. We got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll talk recruiting. Jackson Dart, what's going on with him?
Some top-end talent. That's what you want, huh?
Could Jackson Dart be coming to BYU? We'll hit on that next. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars points winning!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Maimonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be here all Saturday long, each and every Saturday, 12 to 3. And if you miss any of the show, you can download our podcast wherever you get podcasts. And if you need a place to get a podcast, KSL Sports app has all these podcasts, including Cougar Sports Saturday. We were just talking about our poll of the day. What does BYU need to improve most between now and their first season? Depth is still king, but right behind that is better top-end talent. And speaking of top-end talent, BYU is, I think, at this stage of the process, squarely in the mix for some top-end talent, a transfer from the University of Southern California. Jackson Dart, local guy, prepped at Corner Canyon High School. What is the latest, Mitch Harper, on Jackson Dart? What's he looking at, and where does BYU fit in?
Well, it looks like it's a three-man race. You know, last week we were talking about Oklahoma, Ole Miss, TCU. That's what a lot of the national reporters were saying. It seems like that third team now is BYU, as Jackson Dart took a visit, a one-day visit to BYU. It was from about 11 a.m. Mountain Time to around 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time, so about 6.5 hours, Jackson Dart was on campus at BYU getting a lay of the land in Provo and talk with Kalani Sitake and Aaron Roderick. And, you know, Jackson Dart, a five-star quarterback transfer in this 2022 transfer portal cycle, I think BYU's in the mix, and I think that's all you can ask for. You know, I think that BYU's in a great situation, Matt, where no matter what, we were talking about this before the show, where you get Jackson Dart, what a huge boom to your quarterback room. You don't get Jackson Dart, you still got a great quarterback room. BYU's in a great spot, whether or not they get Dart or not. But I think Cougar fans and the BYU football program would love to get Dart because he just adds more depth to the quarterback room. He adds a huge talent to this BYU program that could be the face of the program going into the Big 12 Conference. So, yeah, I mean, BYU is in the mix. He hasn't announced anything yet. And, you know, I got to imagine that there's got to be a decision here relatively soon. I mean, because
classes,
they got to enroll in class. Yeah. You know, Jackson Dart's got to be in a classroom and be able to, you know, be a student to be ready to go and compete in a spring practice. But it seems like BYU, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma are the three schools. And it might even be, you know, maybe BYU and Ole Miss. So it's going to be fascinating to see what ends up happening with Jackson Dart.
The thing that excites me the most, regardless of where he goes, is BYU in the eyes, and this is the only eyes that matter in college football, really, are the eyes of 16 to 18-year-old kids. How do they view you? And this validates BYU football in terms of that top-end talent. Because at the end of 2019, I don't think Jackson Dark's taking this visit. And you're sure as day not getting Kingsley. So the fact that these guys – look, adding Kingsley is huge. But even if he didn't come but visited, I still feel the same way, which is you are on the trajectory that you need to be on to compete at the Big 12. Like, these type of players need to view your program as an actual destination that they can go to help them develop as football players, as individuals, and how to get them to the next level. Because right now, when you think of BYU football, especially on the offensive side, especially under the tutelage of Aaron Roderick, you feel like if I go to BYU, I can play in the league because BYU is going to have multiple players drafted again. And there is a real scenario here, Mitch, and this is huge. There is a real scenario when you talk about BYU and Aaron Roderick that they could become QB factory again. Like, if Jaren Hall is healthy, I believe this to my core, he's going to get drafted. And yeah. And if he has a good year and they would go 9-3, he's probably a second-round pick, maybe a first, depending on how things shake out. Because he is exactly what the NFL wants right now, a mobile quarterback that can throw the football accurately. And then you're talking about Taysom Hill. We'll have to see with his injury. But there could be three BYU quarterbacks in the NFL. So these guys, Jackson Dart, other quarterback prospects, they look at this and say, this is a top 25 offense. We have a great offensive line. The weapons at wide receiver are obscene. It's ridiculous. The wealth of options. You can't even play all these people. There's guys that on previous teams would be a number one option that won't be able to see the field this year. And I'm talking maybe a Chase Roberts. I think Chase Roberts is going to break the two deep, but on other teams, he'd be the number one. But he's going to have to wait his turn, Ryan Pukka. So I'm rambling now, but the point is, the current state of BYU football is so good that you're getting visits from these guys, and that's all you can ask for is an opportunity to talk to this top-end talent.
That's a great point, because I think there was a stretch there when BYU, in the early years of independence, it felt like BYU was kind of losing that, you know, just getting at least a courtesy visit. You know, there was a time when they'd get the visits from Manti Te'os of the world, and then there was a stretch where they weren't even getting those. And you thought, man, is BYU losing its presence within LDS athletes? And because that is still the foundation, the core of the BYU football program is getting the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And if you can get those high-end LDS members to this program, BYU is going to be a really good football program. And they already are. And they're going to go to even higher level because Jackson Dart, he is a member of the church. And you know, he's a Utah-based kid, and I think that there's an appeal to maybe being a, if you will, hometown hero. You know, Zach Wilson did it, and it worked out great for him. And Aaron Roderick is doing a phenomenal job with quarterbacks, and it goes beyond Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall. I mean, Baylor Romney was very good during his appearances at BYU. You know, Aaron Roderick has done a great job with BYU's quarterback position, and whether BYU gets Jackson Dart or not, they've got a bright future ahead at the quarterback position. But getting a guy like Jackson Dart would be huge for BYU because it just a little bit of a refresher. His 1 year at Corner Canyon in 2020, he threw for 67 touchdown passes. He had 4,691 yards. He ran for 1,200 yards. I think people forget that. He had 1,200 yards rushing at Corner Canyon. He was phenomenal. He was the National Gatorade Player of the Year, and his story probably never happens if the state of Utah didn't play high school football amidst the pandemic either. Remember that? I mean, that was something that was kind of controversial at the time. Utah was actually playing high school football. Jackson Dart was a relative unknown, and BYU, when he was an unknown recruit, BYU offered him. And I think that relationship and the fact that BYU believed in him when he was a complete unknown on the recruiting trail, I think endears him a little bit to endears Jackson Dart to this BYU staff. Like, they saw the potential. Man, what could, now that I'm realizing my potential, I can only imagine what this program could potentially do. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be, it's now kind of just waiting for his announcement. And it seems like it's, you know, Ole Miss is in the mix, Oklahoma, BYU.
Oklahoma's out. When you think about it logically, you're going to sit behind Dylan Gabriel. Why?
I think so. I mean, I think that would be the case. But because the Oklahoma offensive coordinator, Jeff Lebby, who came from Ole Miss, He's got a track record at UCF, and he recruited Dylan Gabriel. And the moment Oklahoma lost Caleb Williams, Dylan Gabriel announced he was going to Oklahoma. So it seems like, yeah, he would just instantly be the number two. But wouldn't he be probably a lock to be number two at BYU too? Or do you think there'd be a competition?
He'd be, yeah.
There would be a legit competition.
For sure. You can't write off Jacob Conover. I think it's so easy to look at that Utah State performance and say, oh, he's not as good as we thought. This isn't a four-star that we're typical of. I still think Conover has plenty of potential, and it would be a battle between him and Dart. But
I think it'd be a battle between Dart and Jaren Hall, though.
There's no way. You are up in the night.
I think it would be. No. If Jackson Dart comes to BYU, I think we're talking there about a Jaren Hall versus Jackson Dart quarterback battle in fall.
What makes you think that? Because if you look at the stats, let's just compare each of those two quarterbacks' years last year, because they both started plenty of games. Jaren Hall had a better completion percentage. Jaren Hall had a significantly better touchdown to interception ratio. Jaren Hall was better on the ground. Mm-hmm. Jaren Hall was significantly better in terms of yards per completion. There's not a metric statistically that Jackson Dart was better than Jaren Hall last year. I don't want BYU fans to think I'm not a Jackson Dart guy, because I am. I think he's going to be awesome. I within my core as a sports fan, I do not believe in playing young quarterbacks if you don't have to. And in this case, you don't have to, because you have an NFL guy with Jaren Hall.
No, I agree with that, but I think that you don't get a Jackson Dart if in this portal process without giving him a chance to compete for the job. And I think that Jackson Dart wants to compete wherever he goes. And I think that he would look at Oklahoma and say, I could beat out Dylan Gabriel, even though, you know, he's got the chance, he's got the relationship with the OC. I think Jackson Dart's just wired to compete. He bet on himself by going from Roy High School to Corner Canyon and took a chance on himself to make a name. And he had that national televised game against Bingham High School. It was like that third week in September. I remember going to that game, and then his offers just took off. It was on ESPN because there was no football really anywhere being played. It was a national showcase event, and the windfall of offers began for Jackson Dart. So he's someone that has already got a track record on betting on himself. I think that if, you know, BYU has shown with Kalani Sitake that the quarterback position, he always wants a competition. Like, even in 2020, when we all knew it was going to be Zach Wilson, there was still Jeff Grimes and Roderick and Kalani are like, yep, it's a quarterback battle.
Yeah,
like,
but that one I actually somewhat believed, because Zach Wilson didn't have a great year. There was a 6-6 football team. His stats weren't very good. I thought that Zach should have started too, but he didn't play nearly as well as Jaren Hall did last year.
But what I'm saying is, like, this staff, Kalani, I don't think will ever just hand over a job anymore to a quarterback. I think the one year they did that in 2017, it backfired. And that's not a slap to Tanner Mangum, but it did. I mean, there was no pressure on Tanner Mangum in 2017, and ever since that season, each year, there's always been a battle. And I think that if you got Dart, there would then be a battle. With just Jaren Hall and Jacob Conover, we know there's no battle, because Jaren Hall, at like 75%, started over Jacob Conover against Boise State. And it was in BYU lost that game. Granted, it was due to turnovers and a slippery football and all that. But we know there's no manufactured quarterback battle that could be generated from Camp Cougar if it's just Jaren Hall and Jacob Conover. But you add Dart to the mix, you put pressure on Jaren Hall to get better. You put pressure on Jacob Conover to get better. It makes everyone better in the program, and I think that's a great thing for BYU as they transition into the Big 12.
I'll move my family to a foreign country if Aaron Roderick says there's a quarterback battle in spring football, even with Jackson Dart there. I don't see it. And what's best for Jackson Dart?
There would absolutely be a battle.
There's no way there would be riots in the streets. The locker room.
Why?
The locker room would be. Jaren Hall won the most Power 5 football games of any BYU quarterback in a single season, Mitch. This is unbelievable. You can't take it away from this guy.
Jackson Dart's coming from USC.
He was okay.
And he went blow for blow with Jaren.
Okay.
In that game in November.
That had nothing to do with Jaren's performance.
They were looking back and forth. They went.
This is unbelievable. How am I going to finish the show today?
Look,
this is outrageous.
Jaren Hall is a phenomenal quarterback, but I think Jackson Dart's phenomenal too.
Jackson Dart
is.
Jackson
Dart.
Here's the key. Jackson Dart is going to be phenomenal in the future. Jaren Hall is phenomenal. No.
He's a five-star quarterback.
You and your recruiting rankings make me want to die sometimes.
Ole Miss, Oklahoma want this guy.
I want him too. But Jaren Hall had a much better year last year. There's nothing Jaren Hall did in 2020 to where you would say,
Think about this, though. Jackson Dart went into a USC program that had Keenan Slovis, and everyone was
Slovis
hyping him
up. Slovis was a bum.
Hey,
you know it.
We know we were saying it last summer. I feel you there. But the narrative nationally was, Keenan Slovis is awesome. Jackson Dart was the better quarterback from the jump. He stepped into that Washington State game and was like, why isn't this guy starting? Why did it take an injury for Dart to go in? So I think that Dart, you just give him the chance to compete. And
I would not give him a chance. It's Jaren Hall is the starting quarterback.
If he came to BYU, he's got to be given the chance to compete for the job.
He can compete, but deep down, you can say all the right things, but deep down, Jaren Hall is the starting quarterback in 2022.
And guess what? You'd feel so much more, you feel even better about Jaren Hall being your QB1, knowing that he held off Jackson Dart. He kept off, Jacob Conover. I think it would just lift up the QB room if you added Jackson Dart. So it's going to be a fascinating decision.
Mitch, we'll have to talk offline about putting, I'm very curious to see what Aaron Roderick describes the quarterback room here in a couple of weeks. Spring football is right around the corner. This is going to be a healthy argument for weeks. I'm looking forward to it. We'll take the break here, though, on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll continue talking some BYU football, maybe give you a little look at spring football right around the corner where Jaren Hall is going to be the starting quarterback.
I hear you. He's QB1. I'm not discrediting Jaren. There's no disrespect to Jaren's name, but Jackson deserves a chance.
Come with me,
if he comes to
BYU.
BYU
brethren, ride with Matt Biamonte. Jaren Hall, QB1. We'll talk about that next here. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back again to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. All month long, we've been talking a lot of hoops, a lot of football, and some of the more exciting football news that came out earlier this month was a wide receiver coming back to BYU for an extra season. That is wide receiver Gunnar Romney. He's our guest right now. Gunnar, thanks for spending with us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here.
Let's get right to it. Probably the question you get asked the most, but what were the reasons you decided to come back to BYU for another season?
Yeah, there were so many reasons. It was a hard choice, so I really had to take everything into consideration. But overall, I think it was just the right decision for the rest of my life. I'm coming back. I'll have the opportunity to graduate from BYU and get a degree. But then just another year of development, another year of playing. My goal has always been to play in the NFL, and that opportunity presented it to me this year. But I feel like ultimately the best decision going forward is to have another year of development. So when I hop into that, I can hop in right away and be a better player. But also, just coming back, this team, I think, is going to be super special next year. We lost a couple of our key guys, but I think we have even more guys that are going to fill in next year and play those critical roles. So I think this team has an opportunity to do something special that, not a lot of BYU teams have done, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Gunnar, when you're making that decision to decide whether or not to come back or go to the NFL, to get the NFL perspective and get a maybe sense of what your draft stock looks like, who do you reach out to? Who do you communicate with to get a sense of what your draft stock is looking like?
Yeah, the last 2 years compared to, the first 2 years I was at BYU, the NFL attention that BYU has gotten has been ridiculous. With Zach Wilson and all the hype that he brought to BYU, we've had scouts, probably four or five scouts at almost every single practice that they could be at throughout, fall camp and even all the way into the season. And so, that much attention, it really brought attention to the whole program, and it allowed scouts to see us. And so just talking with I'm not allowed to directly talk with the scouts, but, they talk with our coaches, they talk with our NFL liaison, hearing the feedback from them, that's really what I was going off of is NFL scouts directly. And so really that's what helped me with my decision was talking with my coaches who had direct contact with those scouts. And so it really led me to the best decision to come back.
Gunnar Romney's our guest here in the Cougar Sports Saturday. I remember catching up with you in the fall, you, me, and Mitch, and you kind of mentioned that you wanted this past season to be your last season. How much did injuries play into that? Or, as you mentioned earlier, was it more so just, hey, there's an opportunity here to increase the stock and to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. There's increasing the draft stock. There's moving up the records. There's putting together back-to-back-to-back 10-win seasons. Was it more so that, or did the injuries and maybe not having the year you wanted to play more into it?
Yeah, you know, I think if I played a full season, I wouldn't really even be considering any other things. I missed, I missed 3 or 4 full games, but then, you know, not playing healthy almost the entire year added up to being closer to 5 games that I missed throughout the season. And so, you know, that plays a huge factor in it. And we're talking about draft stock. Staying healthy in itself this whole season would boost my draft stock. And then so once I started thinking about, what might be the best decision, all that stuff kind of came into factors. You know, I'm right on the edge of, you know, maybe not breaking a couple of BYU records, but being in, you know, top 10 for most of BYU's receiving stats for a career. So that's huge for me. That was one of my goals coming into BYU. And so obviously that played something into that. But really, I think injuries, had I stayed healthy, I don't think we'd be having the same conversation. But the fact that I did get injured, it made me consider everything else.
And coming back to BYU, you still got to manage being a student and things like that. Have you already got the degree in your undergrad done? I know you've been part of the program for 4 years. Is that already taken care of?
No, so I almost finished. I'm like right on the edge. I only have a couple more credits. So, you know, it's not too difficult now because I have made most of my progress. So I can kind of spread it out through the next couple years, or sorry, through the next couple months for this year. So it really won't be difficult for me, but you know, something that means a lot to me is getting that degree.
Well, that can be kind of nice though, right? To kind of be able to really, it can be more of a workload of being about football, but also having the lighter school schedule, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I get to focus a lot more on football and just training for the season. And then during the season will be my lightest load of school that I've had yet. And so that'll be, give me a lot more time to, you know, film, study, workout, treatment, get my body right. So it'll be good.
The injuries you saw last year seemed kind of fluky in that they happened right against the sideline. You were blocking, didn't see the run coming. Is that something you can prevent against, or is that just freaky stuff happens in football?
You know, it's something that really, it just comes down to bad luck, and that's just how the game is sometimes. You know, but the season before, I had a couple of soft tissue injuries that maybe could have been prevented. And so that's really what I worked on all of last offseason. So I felt good, felt healthy. And, you know, it's frustrating sometimes because those are the type of things that you can't prevent. And, you know, you just kind of say, dang, like, what if? But really, it's just bad luck, and you just have to try and forget about it, get yourself healthy, and get ready for the next time you can play.
Gunnar Romney's our guest here on KSL News Radio, coming back for one more year in 2022. And the 2022 season looks to be another potential special one for you guys, Gunnar. And the guy leading the way, of course, is Kalani Sitake, who got what BYU was calling a new unprecedented extension. How much did it help in the decision process to return, knowing that the coaching staff on the offensive side is all coming back once again?
It's huge. You know, Kalani, there's not another coach in college football that I'd want to play for. I think he's the main reason that BYU's been having success the last couple of years. Just his dedication and his love for the game really rubs off on everybody. And, you know, just how much he loves his players, how much effort he sees he puts into his players is really the main thing for this growth that we've seen in the program. And, you know, the whole entire coaching staff, I could say the same thing about Coach Roderick and Fessy, my receivers coach. I think they've done a tremendous job of coaching us the last couple of years. The player development at BYU is, you know, comparatively to any other college team, it's up there as one of the top. And so I think, you know, this offense, especially that I'm going to be a part of, it has an opportunity to do something special.
What's the offseason going to be like for you in terms of your focus in training and where you're going to be training, what you're going to be working on? What's that going to look like for the next couple months?
Yeah, you know, obviously we have the BYU workouts and stuff that I'll be with, but, you know, I go work out with Jordan Pendleton in the offseason as well. And, you know, talking to scouts, there's a couple things that they want me to work on, you know, mainly you know, first step explosiveness, you know, getting out of breaks maybe a little bit faster and stuff like that. Maybe having more of an effect with yards after catch, you know, being more of an explosive playmaker with the ball in my hand. And those are the type of stuff that I'm going to try and work on to, you know, ultimately have the best season I can to improve my draft stock.
How do you feel the chemistry is between you and Jaren? Because this is Jaren's team. I know that the transfer portal is always there for guys to potentially be added or whatnot. I mean, it's always a thing, but Jaren Hall is the face of the BYU offense at quarterback. What's the chemistry like between you and Jaren as he works his way back from injuries as well?
Yeah. You know, I think last year when we were both healthy, I think the chemistry was there. I think we were making plays. I think it was awesome. So, you know, having this offseason to both get healthy, but then having that season of experience, I think is really going to help us both going forward. You know, we have a whole offseason to work with that chemistry. We know he's the established guy, so we can focus on that now. And so I think this next season is going to be sort of a breakout season because he has the reins and he has a whole offseason to work at that.
What's Jaren like? Just sorry to cut in there, Matt, but what's Jaren like? Because we see in the media, you know, a very just, you know, calm, very, you know, straight to the point, Jaren, no nonsense guy. But I'm seeing like now he's getting a little more on social media, he's a little more active. It feels like, you know, he is QB1. He is the face of this offense with you and you guys are going to be kind of the leaders of this thing. What's Jaren like behind closed doors that maybe us in the public don't get to see?
Yeah, no, Jaren, he's pretty much like he is in the public. He's a super, super confident guy, stand up dude. But he's kind of the guy that maybe a little bit more quiet, but he's like sneaky funny. Like he'll throw in like some sneak jabs and stuff like that. But yeah, he's a, you know, great leader, great personality. Everybody loves to be around him.
All right, Gunnar, we got to take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll have you on for the next segment. So more Gunnar Romney. It will be happening next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Been a great show so far. And right now we're joined by one of the premier offensive players for BYU football. He is wide receiver Gunnar Romney. Thanks for spending some more time with us. Typically in the offseason, Gunnar, you know, the staff and players will take visits to NFL teams and kind of see what the new age of offensive football is going to be. Has that happened at all? And are you going to study any NFL players?
Going along with the offenses and stuff, we really don't know until spring ball comes in. That's when they kind of give us their new spiel on stuff that they've learned and that they want to work on. And so that's really like going in a week or two before spring ball is when they'll kind of, you know, sit us down and say, all right, this is the type of offense we want to be. This is where we're at and what we want to improve on. And then for me personally, the guy that I like to study and that Fessy actually tells us to study all the time is Davante Adams. I think he's probably the best receiver in the NFL right now. His route running is unreal. And just his knowledge of the game, if you watch film on him, it's just the little details, you know. You don't really notice how he changes up his route if you're just watching ESPN or something on SportsCenter. But if you go watch the film, you'll see every single one of his routes, he knows exactly what spot on the field is going to be open and knows exactly how to get there and when to get there. And so, you know, watching him, I think, can really help me technique-wise and just mentally getting forward in the game.
And speaking of NFL guys, do you have maybe an open line of communication with guys like Dax Milne or even Zach Wilson that, you know, your former teammates to maybe get some tips or pointers on, you know, what they could share from their experiences after one year in the NFL?
Yeah. You know, those two guys specifically are probably the two guys I'm closest with that are in the NFL right now. And both of them, they just ended their season, so they're actually back in town. So I've already hung out with them a couple of times since they've been home and, you know, just like trying to pick their brain and not even just on the football field, just experiencing that different lifestyle, you know, what tips and pointers they have. And, you know, so they've been great helping me go through the whole process and learning about it all. So I'm looking forward to experiencing what they're going through.
You're a seasoned vet now and you've been married for a minute as well. When you reflect upon last season as a married man, how much different was it being married versus not being married, just in the season, in the grind? Did you I imagine you probably preferred the married life versus the single life being a football player.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I saw a huge difference. Just like little things, you know, after a game, after a late game, just go home and go to sleep, you know, as an unmarried college kid, you're not really going to do that. You know, after you just win a big game, you're going to go out and want to hang out and find the parties and stuff. But, you know, for me, it's been a lot more consistent. My life has been a lot more consistent ever since I got married. You know, we come home, we're in bed by 10:30 every single night. So I get 8-9 hours of sleep. And that simply wasn't happening as a single college student.
One of the consistencies has been having your brother Baylor part of the program. That's going to change in 2022. He announced he's moving on to move on to whether it be football or something else. What's the latest you can share with Baylor? I know it's his deal and you don't want to get too much into it, but what's the latest with Baylor that you can share?
Yeah, you know, without sharing too much, I don't want to spoil anything that he's doing, but you know, he has lots of colleges reaching out to him. He has lots of other good programs reaching out to him. But at the same time, he's still, you know, trying to figure out what he's going to do in general. So he will take a couple of visits to colleges, but he's at the same time, you know, interviewing for jobs and stuff. So really, I think whatever the best opportunity that comes for him is the one that he's going to go with. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody. I'll let him, if he wants to make an announcement or anything with what he's doing, or if not, then maybe later. But just really what comes to him, I think it's his decision. Whatever he feels like is best is going to happen.
What will be some of your, you know, maybe one or two lasting memories from your time playing with them, maybe a specific play or moment playing with your brother?
I just think the, you know, the couple touchdowns that we had together were awesome. You know, after the game going up and my mom's just bawling her eyes out, just tears coming down her face. I think those are the coolest things. And then day in and day out, you know, we kind of took it for granted a little bit how cool it was to be there with a brother, you know, going through this whole college football experience with the brother like that. I think we sort of took it for granted, but looking back, it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. You know, we were locker buddies. We had lockers right next to each other. We were always sat next to each other on the plane rides and on the boat or on the bus rides. And, you know, so it was a super cool experience having him there. And, you know, I'm going to miss it for sure.
You'll have another brother coming, Tate. I believe he's coming back from a mission this summer. Or is it this fall? When's Tate coming back?
Yeah, no, he gets back in April is when he's expected to get back. So he should join the team, you know, early summer and be on the team roster next fall. So, I mean, I lose one brother, but gain another. So I'm in a good position.
And that with that brother, he'll have the chance to, you know, I'm sure at this point you probably hopefully don't want to get hit in practices. You're too valuable to the team, but sure. Younger brother's going to want to lay a hit in practice. Maybe.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to be calling him out in one-on-ones. I'm going to move to the slot because he's mostly a linebacker safety type. But for sure, I'm going to be calling him out in practice, maybe get a couple hits on him or just to welcome him to BYU.
Gunnar Romney's our guest. Final question for you, Gunnar, then we'll let you go. Thanks for spending some time with us here on Cougar Sports Saturday. The big departure offensively is Tyler Allgeier. He's heading off to the NFL. It's going to be hard to replace. There's certainly guys capable. I know that the offense is still being tweaked and worked on, but if you had to project as to how you guys will look in the fall, what do you think will be the strengths of this offense and what you guys will try to maximize, you know, come early September?
Yeah. I mean, I'm speaking biasly as a receiver. I mean, hopefully the passing game is what gets maximized. I think this receiving corps is one of the best receiving corps that we've had at BYU. Lots of experience, tons and tons of talent. I mean, we have 10 guys that could start right now, talent wise. And then Jaren Hall is a super talented guy coming back with another year of experience. And so I think hopefully the passing game is maximized, but our running game, I'm not worried about it at all. We have a bunch of guys that were at BYU that could do it. We have a couple transfer guys that came in that are more than capable. And so I think we'll be able to pick up the slack, even though we are losing an amazing athlete like Tyler.
Just thinking about those 10 guys, I mean, you, Puka, Braden Cosper comes back from an injury who I think people probably on the outside sleeping on just a bit. He's really good. Keanu, Cody Epps, Chase Roberts, who sounded like he was doing really well in bowl practices. Am I missing anyone?
I mean, yeah, we're so deep right now. It's hard to even just rattle everybody off, but yeah, it's crazy. The rotation this year is, I mean, if one guy goes down, the next guy stepping right up there is going to be almost just as good. So really not worried about anything right there. If anything, we're worried about, you know, not utilizing everybody.
Well, stay healthy. He's Gunnar Romney into his final year with the BYU football program. 2022 looks to be a special one for him and this team. Spring practices begin February 28th, so football is just around the corner. And Gunner, we appreciate the time as always. It's always a pleasure talking with you. It's one of, I mean, speaking for Matt and I, we love talking. You're one of the best interviews on the team, and you do this professionally, probably take our job here soon after your football career is done. So we appreciate the time, Gunner.
No, of course. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, guys.
I don't know if we have really internalized how important it is to have him back, just because he has been plagued by injuries, Mitch, throughout his career. We talk about top end talent, which we were talking about in the first hour. Come on, Bill, in terms of top end talent,
and 4-star.
You and those star rankings. No, yeah, I think, at least for me, I can only speak for myself, but when I think of Gunnar Omni, I still feel like there's potential and injuries have hampered him. But when you look at the record books, and we talked about this with Gunnar, and if you missed that interview, you can check it out on our podcast feed. If he has a healthy year and has 50-plus receptions, catches a pass in every game, like, he's going to be up there. In when we play in top five games in a year from now, Gunnar Omni's name is going to be a name we got to throw into the mix. So to get a guy like that back to the wide receiver room is a lot bigger than I think I've heard people discuss it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to think that this is going to be a guy that's already got 42 games under his belt. He's going to play another potentially 13 games for BYU. It's a unique circumstance with the COVID extra year of eligibility, but I think it was a great move by him to come back and run it back one more time. And I think it was interesting, too, the tidbits of how feedback is gathered, because as he noted, you know, when you're a college athlete and you haven't declared, you can't just have those conversations with the scouts. So how do you get that intel? And having that NFL liaison, Jason Ayu, who serves in that role, is valuable. And I think that kind of highlights the significance of Jason Ayu's role, who also handles recruiting. And you wonder, you know, kind of how my brain operates. I thought maybe they're going to hire some additional NFL liaisons to get more intel with these scouts for the future with this new unprecedented deal. But yeah, Gunnar Omni and this BYU wide receiver room going to be explosive group in 2022. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
We'll take the break here. News, traffic, and weather coming up next on KSL News Radio. It's more Cougar Sports Saturday after that. .com.
Today is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into the show. Start of hour number three. If you've missed any part of the program, download the KSL Sports app so you can listen to Cougar Sports Saturday podcast or on all major podcasting platforms. At BYU basketball is in action tonight at 7 o'clock at the Marriott Center, BYU versus Portland. And Matt, you know, it's pretty crazy. This BYU team, they've had some adversity they've had to face, but they're 16-4, and they're playing some great basketball. And it's a team right now that it's maybe not the way, it's not looking the way that I think any of us thought coming in. I thought this was going to be a more prolific offense, but they just find ways to win. It's kind of these gritty wins every single time, and no man's probably going to know it better than one of the men on Mark Pope's bench. He's in his third year with the BYU basketball program already. He's assistant coach Cody Feger, and Coach, we're pleased to have you on as always here on the program. And it's just crazy to think, you know, already year three, and this team is in a position where you guys can have a lot of success come March once again.
Yeah, man, third year already. Wow. Yeah, no, our team is. These guys are really battling every single day. A huge thing for us, again, I think, was honestly having that week off in between Westminster and I think Pacific was our next game after that. And having a couple of days where our guys could get mentally back to it, because that was a grind going through Christmas. But right now our guys are feeling good and locked in. Practice has been going well. Obviously, we had a little setback with Gonzaga, who's playing at a really high level right now. But the game at San Francisco was a good little comeback win that we really needed.
frustration into fight. Who coined that saying? And I asked that because that San Francisco game was the definition of frustration and fight.
Yeah, that was Coach Pope. I mean, he's been saying that for a while now, and like that's one of his things he talks about is, hey, I mean, even when we were doing 2 days, our year one here at BYU, it's like, guys, hey, we can get frustrated, we can get mad about this, this and that. What are you going to do with that, you know? Because everyone gets mad, everyone gets frustrated. You got to turn it into fight. And so Coach Pope's been saying that for a long time, and all our guys even repeat it all the time, right? Guys like Trevin Nell will say, frustration into fight, you know? It's so our guys have a feel for it, and they're about it.
You know, when you say that, it's interesting. I've noticed that, you know, covering this team every step of the way since you guys got here, the players do buy in to some of the mottos, the mantras that Coach Pope and in the staff, you guys live by. And I think, I mean, it's got to help in terms of the results and the success that the program has been experiencing since you guys stepped foot on campus.
For sure. And, you know, one of the main ones is what? Get better every day, right? And that's something that really helps our guys lock in on that specific practice, that specific minute, that, you know, not worried about whatever it is down the line, winning league down the line or whatever. Just we got to focus on getting better every single day. And that's something that Coach Pope's high on. And then our leaders, Alex Barcelo, is about getting better every day. And Tijon Lucas and all the little sayings and kind of mantras that we have around here, that those guys are all in, and it helps it trickle through our roster.
What did that San Francisco win do for the team, you think, going forward into as the conference games and the gauntlet continues on in league play?
I think it's just a huge, you know, confidence builder and just shows, like, we were down, what, 10 with 5 minutes to go, that, you know, we can be involved in every single game and just the toughness and, you know, all the stuff it takes to win games, where guys like Caleb Lohner, that's a huge confidence booster for him. This past weekend was a big confidence booster for him and some of the other guys. Gideon George was huge down the stretch, and Foose, all our guys. So it gives our guys that haven't played as much, you know, a little bit more confidence, where Alex and Tijon have that already, right? And just giving those other guys more confidence and that they can get things done when we need it.
Talk with assistant coach Cody Feger here on KSL News Radio. And you mentioned with the confidence in the guard line with Alex and Tijon. Alex is finally, I think, getting the recognition nationally. Hopefully the people out there listening, because we've seen it all along here, seeing this man operate since he arrived on campus. But now he's being coined by guys like Jay Billis as the best shooter in America. What makes Barcelo such a great shooter, a great scorer, and just everything that makes him a good college basketball player?
Alex is, you know, the first day he showed up here at BYU, he wanted to get in the gym right away. I mean, that's the type of guy he is, right? We had two-a-days this first year, and he's here at 4:30 when we start practice at 6. The thing with Alex is everything we talk about as coaches and how to become a leader with him, he buys into every part of it, right? He's why you're in this profession, because he's a guy that wants it and wants to do, you know, the right thing every single time and wants to work really hard. You know, there's nothing better than that. I think Coach Pitino says it's a PhD attitude, right? Poor, hungry, and driven. And that's what Alex is. And he's an everyday guy, and he's just like, how can I help my teammates get better, right? When Trevin was struggling earlier in the year, how can I get my guy going, right? Like, that's the type of guy he is. And, man, it's just such a pleasure to be around him. And the reason why he's such a great shooter is he puts so much work in every single day, and he shoots the same way every single time. He shoots it the exact same way every single time. He gets warmed up the same way, and he's relentless at that, and he wants to get better. You know, if he doesn't hit 10 in a row on a specific drill, he's going to do it until he hits 10 in a row. You know, and some drills he's like, hey, I got to get 5 switches in a row before I can move to the next spot. And like that, just that type of precise get better every single day is what he's all about.
Where do you feel like he's gotten better this year?
I think he's become a better leader. You know, last year he had such a huge range from those, you know, 6 seniors that graduated the year before. He was a great leader last year, and then this year he's just getting better and better at it, and just getting more in touch with how to communicate with guys and how to lead them. and then defensively, you know. So what he's done this year, he's taken a huge step defensively. Like before the St. Mary's game, you know, guys are in there shooting before, during shoot around, and he's actually watching the scout team run through these actions. So he has them before we even get through the walkthrough. So Alex is studying, hey, we're going to week this, we're going to do this and that on this action. He's talking our whole three, our whole team through that. And it's just been, I mean, come on, we held St. Mary's to 43 points and he was a huge part of it. And he talked us, basically, I didn't even have to be in shoot around. Coach Pope didn't have to, because he just talked the whole team through everything. I mean, it's incredible what he's doing and taking a step defensively. And you watch against him, against Shabazz, against San Francisco. He was incredible defensively. Now, Shabazz is going to hit tough shots because he's a heck of a player. But Alex was in there the whole time. And we can go down the line with the last couple games. He's been really good defensively.
It's remarkable, too, that he's probably a guy that never envisioned that he'd be at BYU, and then you think his sister's here now, his fiance is living in Utah. It's quite the story, and I think that it's hard to not get excited about his prospects in the game of basketball.
No question. I mean, he's all about BYU. He absolutely loves his place, and BYU's done a lot for him, and he's doing a lot for it. Like it's just been perfect so far, and you know, him and Coach Pope, those two guys together have been remarkable to watch.
How's it BYU been for you? This is your third year. It is crazy to think it's already that third season, but how's things been going for you and your evolution and your role on Pope's bench?
Oh, it's been great. You know, Coach Pope's given me more and more, you know, kind of freedom to do different things, you know, that I see, and we talk about it every single day, whether it's offense or defense, and we spend a ton of time. And then, you know, I've just gotten so close to a lot of these players, and that's been unbelievable. And it's something I look forward to every single day coming into work.
I know it's still down the road, but how exciting is the prospects of, you know, being part of a program that's going to be in a power conference down the road?
Oh, man, I mean, come on. We're really excited about it. Obviously, this WCC is a monster of a league, but
great league this year.
Great league this year. And, you know, we're playing Gonzaga, the best team in the country year in, year out, twice. But, like, I'm really excited. I mean, the Big 12 and, you know, we get Baylor coming in here, West Virginia, going to Kent, like all that stuff just got me really excited and just makes me think, man, we got to get better as a staff. We got to get better on the court. There's a lot of things to get better at, but I'm excited about that.
Well, Coach, appreciate the time. He's BYU basketball assistant coach Cody Feger, and best of luck the rest of the season, and we'll catch up again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mitch.
There you go. That's Cody Feger, BYU assistant coach. Always great catching up with him, and you know, it's hard not to agree with him. You know, Alex Barcelo, just a total BYU guy. Alex Barcelo's rise within BYU basketball has been great to see. But I got to say, Matt, I hope there was a great tweet by a former BYU player earlier this week, Chris Collinsworth, not the NBC analyst. But Chris Collinsworth was like, you know what? I want to see Barcelo just go off like a Jimmer type game where he's putting up 25 shots in a game. I want to see what that looks like. Hopefully he can have some maybe space in this Portland game in the first half to go off for a big offensive night, because Barcelo, he's incredibly efficient. Would love to see what that looks like over the course of maybe 20, 25 shots.
Yeah, and I think he needs to shoot more mid-range. I know that's an unpopular opinion in basketball right now, but that guy is just as good in the mid-range as he is beyond the three-point line. It's just, sometimes I wonder if the scheme with him is, you know, threes, make the right decision. Because, you know, you hear this from Coach Pope all the time. It's making the extra pass, passing up good shots for great shots. And sometimes you wonder with him, it's just like, take any shot. Anytime you can, just take it. So I would like to see it. But I think also that's what makes Alex Barcelo great, is that he is ultra efficient. He's a team guy. He plays on both ends, because – one thing about Jimmer, and I love Jimmer. I'm not. This is not a negative. This isn't a criticism. It's just, this is how the team was built under the Jimmer era. Yeah. Jimmer took time off on the defensive end because he had to work on the offensive end. Alex Barcelo wasn't going to take any time off. Yeah. He has to play both ways. And so, look, and that's a credit to Jimmer and Coach Rose and Jackson Emery and all those guys, because the way that they had to win was Jimmer had to shoot it all the time. And he had the ball all the time, and he had to create all the time. And so he just couldn't contribute defensively like maybe he could have. And that kind of rap hurt him in the NBA. But Alex Barcelo doesn't do that. And I think that what makes him great. He's one of the best defenders. He playmakes, and he gets others involved. So, and he rebounds so well. That's what's really impressed me this year, Mitch, with Alex Barcelo, other than he's the best three-point shooter in the history of BYU basketball, is that he is maybe one of the best rebounding point guards ever in BYU basketball. I mean, he is willing to get in there and fight. So it's really – and they need it because they don't have the size. So that's really impressed me.
It's probably second to only Kyle Collinsworth.
Yeah, Collinsworth is probably number one.
He's the only guy that would probably say he's a better rebounding guard than Alex Barcelo because KC was the walking triple-double. I mean, he was
legit.
He was amazing in that front. But, yeah, Barcelo has been impressive, what he's doing, and it's a big reason why BYU's 16-4 right now. We'll talk more about what BYU basketball is going to do going forward as we, you know, March is just around the corner. We'll look ahead at the prospects of this BYU basketball team right here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte here with you. Talking to BYU basketball, and the Cougars are in action tonight against Portland. And the Pilots are, Portland.
What it's else a great is? Name, the Portland Pilots. I like that.
They're pushing P. You know, they're
double P.
The double P, pushing P. But, you know, this BYU team, Matt, 16-4. I got to say, we were talking to producer Dallin before the show, and with what BYU has had to overcome, it's pretty remarkable that they're 16-4.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've lost Gavin Baxter for the year, which is cool to see Gavin, by the way, at the game on Thursday night. I was happy to see that.
Think he comes back at all? I mean, he could.
It's tough. I mean, I think
how long can you do it, though?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what, three season-ending injuries? At what point do you say, you know what, I got my degree, I'm getting married, I'm moving on? Hey, I would love to see him back. Just the story itself, it'd be great.
I think the thing that we can't appreciate, though, because we didn't play college sports, is we can't appreciate the blood, sweat, and tears and dreams of a lifetime being put on the shelf.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to leave that on the table knowing that it could still be there because if he has a good year. I mean, he's never played in the NBA, but you could go play 10 years overseas.
I think the toughest thing, honestly, is probably the school part. You want to grind and be – I mean, BYU is no joke. Like, it's tough. Like
We overlook that so much with BYU.
We do. I mean, Fusini Traore gets a 4.0. And it's like, that's remarkable. I mean, you know, it really is. And Atiki Aliatiki gets a 3.3. And you're seeing that is incredible. Those guys are navigating
the language
barrier first year, and they're getting those great GPAs, and they're making an impact on the court. That's remarkable stuff. And I think that's to me, if it was solely come back and play hoops again, I think he probably comes back. But then you factor in navigating being a student, being a husband, and then being a high-level D1 athlete at a competitive program that it's not easy. Like Mark Pope, he is a fun-loving guy. Like he gives some great quips. But, like, he's hard.
But
you're going to work, NIL, man.
Factor into this, too, though.
That's true. You can make some extra cash, and being a BYU athlete, there's definitely more opportunities for that. But with all that said, I think that BYU being at 16-4 without Gavin Baxter, without Richard Harward, and honestly, in many games, without the offensive presence of Caleb Lohner.
Many games. All but two, basically.
It's amazing what BYU's doing right now.
It's phenomenal. And we heard this after the win against San Diego, but I really, we stay late at the Marriott Center, and if you haven't subscribed to our podcast and if you haven't followed KSL Sports on Twitter, you should. I think that we go above and beyond BYU fans to give you guys great content. We do some video recaps, but you get to capture a bunch of interesting tidbits and nuggets just being there late and seeing things. And it's just really impressed me how BYU's been able to develop a Fouche Traore and a Tiki Alatiki. And the point I'm getting to, Mitch, is you hear Mark Pope say in the postgame that they saved our season. And, you know, you have a long drive home after. Mine's not as long, but there's not like – you just get – it's fun to be able to hear these things and you just get to think about it. And it's like, wow. They saved – because they really did. They saved the season. And they're putting together – some of the best, when I say best freshman seasons, I'm really talking about Fouse because Atiki's not playing enough to have a great freshman season. But Fouse is putting together one of the great freshman seasons in BYU basketball history, and he's got a chance to be just one of the beloved players that ever comes through BYU, the university, because his story is so unique. How he finds his way to BYU, he practices the Muslim faith, and for him to embrace BYU for all that it is, because it gets criticized a lot for being a faith-based institution, and you have someone who's not of the faith, who loves what BYU stands for and is thriving at the university, and he's so good at basketball too. It's incredible what they've been able to do, in large part because of how Foose has developed.
Foose has been outstanding, and I remember at that media day back in October when we watched him in practice, the first time we got eyes on him, and it was like, wow, this guy's going to be really good. But you just didn't know when. You probably thought probably the back end of his first season. But from the moment he stepped on the court in night one against Cleveland State, he's been impactful. And ever since he's took on the starting role in that Hawaii trip to against Liberty, he's done a great job in the five spot. And I just think that Foose has been fantastic for BYU, and it was so needed to have him because, man, you think about what Alex Barcelo, what he envisioned coming back for a super senior year. If you don't have Foose rise up and emerge as a threat in the post,
it's over.
It's the season's done. Yeah. You're talking about NIT, and that's a wrap.
And what a bummer to have, in that scenario, have wasted an extra year of Alex Barcelo, one of the great BYU guards in the history of the program.
And BYU 16-4, and according to the metrics, they've played 17th toughest schedule to date this season. So, I mean, we're talking BYU right now. Projections say an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. Based on that metric alone, it should be higher. I mean, 16-4, only 4 losses. One of those losses is to the best team in the land.
It's the lack of quad one wins right now. Yeah. That's ultimately the problem. But the
signature wins are lacking, but hey, there's going to be opportunities. Like that Gonzaga game coming up in 2 weeks from today, if you can pull that off, maybe we're talking about BYU as a 6 seed.
That would be one of the great coaching jobs in the history of BYU hoops.
They probably got to win out for that to happen, but yeah. Hey, it's within reach.
We'll keep talking hoops on the other side. You can text us as well, 57500. Chime in on BYU basketball. Back after this.
It's proudly brought to you by SRE.com. Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. You got 30 minutes to go. Getting ready for BYU basketball. NFL playoffs just started, and on the opening play, the Bengals with the INT. So the names of the rounds in the NFL playoffs are lame. What is this, the divisional round? There's nothing divisional about this. This is just the next round in the NFL playoffs. But NFL is underway. BYU hoops tonight. Back at it, looking for their fifth WCC win against the Portland Pilots. A spoiler alert, I think they're going to get it tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I'm more curious as to who you want in this divisional round playoff game than maybe the outcome of this BYU Portland game. Who are you going for in this Bengals Titans game?
The Bengals.
Who are you picking in general?
The Titans are boring to me. Derrick Henry is phenomenal. He's fun to watch, but they're very old school. The Bengals. It's fun to see new teams rise up, and the Bengals have been in a serious drought. I mean, we're talking.
Since
30 years? I saw somewhere, I think it was their Twitter feed. This will be interesting to you BYU fans who are kind of in the social scene. Bengal fans had not been able to send a text message that their team had won a playoff game. Think about text messaging is not a new thing. We've been texting for a long time, and Bengal fans have never been able to say, we won a football game through ones and zeros in the World Wide Web. Yeah. So.
Last time the Bengals won a playoff game, Ty Detmer was the Heisman Trophy winner in college football.
Wow. I was barely alive.
There you go. So, I mean, that's how long it's been. I like Joe Burrow, too.
Burrow's a class act. His story is great. Gets dumped by Ohio State, a team he wanted to play for. Goes and plays for Ed Orgeron, Gold Tigers, eating crab cakes and who knows whatever else on his recruiting visit. Number one pick, and now – And I'll be real, I wasn't sure he was going to be this good in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I when people were saying, oh, he could be like a Joe Montana, I'm thinking, what?
I know.
He's 1 year at LSU with all that talent around him? Is that going to translate? But, yeah, I mean,
it's translating.
He's playing awesome for a franchise that hasn't had much success. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye out for Bengals and Titans. And also, too, just a quick shout-out on KSLSports.com. Our NFL locals in the NFL insider, Kyle Ireland, does a great job with any local angles with the NFL on KSLSports.com. So stay tuned for that. He'll have a lot of coverage of Fred Warner, Zane Train Anderson, Dirty Dan, and Andy Reid. So have you covered on KSLSports.com. But again, that BYU and Portland game tonight, we shouldn't discredit the Pilots completely. They've overhauled the roster. They got a new head coach, Shante Leggins, comes in as the new head man at Portland. He got Eastern Washington to the NCAA tournament last year. Terry Porter, obviously the former Portland Trailblazer, was the last head coach, and he was downright awful. BYU sent him to the unemployment line with how bad they beat him last year. It was like 105-60. Yeah. It was bad, and Portland fired him. But you know, this is a game where one thing I got to say, Matt, is that I'm looking forward to for BYU in the future, the Big 12. I feel like I'm bringing it up every week. I'm discrediting the WCC, which isn't right because this is a good league this year. But I'm not going to miss for BYU's sake the games where it's a nothing to gain situation. Like any conference game BYU plays in the Big 12 2 years from now, it'll be, wow, what a great win. Like you win any game.
Maybe not UCF.
UCF, though, like they got a solid team. Like, what are they, top 80 in KenPom? Not bad.
True.
Like, Johnny Dawkins is the head coach. Like, these are the games in the WCC that I don't think anyone's going to miss in terms of you're expected to blow them out. If it's close, then you're going, what just happened? Even if it's close win, you're like, what just happened? And if they lose, it'd be a disaster. But if they win by 15, it's like, well, you were expected to do that. It's like, it's so difficult to win any conference game. I've seen that every single night in the WCC. These teams are much better than we give them credit for, but you know the rankings and the metrics would suggest they're not that good. But Portland will probably bring their best because this is going to be the biggest venue they play in this season.
What I want to see, because there is a little lull in the schedule right now with Portland, Santa Clara, and Pacific before you have a weekend to start February with San Francisco at home. That game was nuts, so that's going to be a fun one. And then Gonzaga, top-ranked Gonzaga, on February 5th at 8 p.m. Both of those are 8 p.m. games. So put your kids to bed and get to the Marriott Center because I want that place rocking and rolling against those two teams. But there's an opportunity with these three games to freshen the legs of Barcelo because I thought it was noteworthy that Barcelo said that he takes a beating every game and he doesn't feel good at the end of games. So it would be nice to limit his minutes. And then there's some young guys that I still think are good. Like I want to see more Hunter Erickson. And I want to see some Trey Stewart. When you and I go down to the Annex or the Marriott Center and watch practice on Tuesdays, Trey Stewart pops. Like, I thought maybe there was this sentiment that Trey Stewart was going to be a transfer portal guy. No, I think Trey Stewart can play. I like his upside. So these are the type of games, though, where if you take care of business, A, B, and Tijon are hitting the bench at the seven-minute mark or whatever it is, or you just play them less. And you have a tighter rotation. So that's what I want to see is take care of business, get these guys some rest, and let's see some of these young guns get some run.
I agree with you completely because, yeah, Trey Stewart, he is an explosive guard. I mean, he had a nice play earlier this week in practice where he gets in the passing lane. The pass was going to Alex Barcella. He steals the ball, takes all the way down the court, and just a nice throw down, slam dunk. He rises up. He's an above-the-rim type of guard. I mean, he is an athlete. He's the son to
Hunter Erickson can do that too.
Yeah, Hunter Erickson's a good player as well, and I think that both those guys have been very patient, and I think that their time will come. It's going to be interesting next year the offseason conversations that we have about who replaces Alex Barcelo. Trey Stewart's a guy that could potentially be that. I believe that potentially. I think that BYU is going to be very active in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I was just going to say
JUCO. They're in the mix for a kid named Sean East, one of the top JUCO recruits in the country. So they're going to be in the mix for a lot of possible guys to replace Alex Barcelo. But, yeah, Trey Stewart, definitely a name to watch. And he's someone that you hope can get a chance to play tonight. And tonight will be kind of fun, too, because, Mark Pope tweeted this out today about less than an hour ago. There's going to be a tribute to the 1981 Elite Eight team.
Yep.
There's like T-shirts being handed out at the game. So should be pretty cool to see some former BYU greats on display, part of that 1981 team, which is one of the great BYU teams ever. I mean, think about Danny Ainge, Greg Kite, Frank Arnold was the head coach, BYU. Last time they got the Elite Eight was in 1981. It's pretty crazy. It's been that long. But they'll be honored tonight because, obviously, last year wasn't possible due to the COVID restrictions and limitations with the attendance.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here, but next year's guard situation is interesting because Coach Pope has made it abundantly clear that the transfer portal is going to be a part of the program.
And that's, no question.
And that's fine. And I think they're going to go after some guys. But at what point do you start to lend towards player development? Because if Hunter Erickson and Trey Stewart don't get a legitimate shot next year to increase their minutes, they're gone. And then you're really hurting for the transfer portal. So, personally speaking, I would like to see maybe another guard brought in, but only one. And then you need minutes from those guys, plus Trevin Nell and, you know, other guys on the team. And I'd also love to see, too, there's so many forwards. Like, getting George is another one of these guys who could come back next year if he wanted. Maybe he does. I hope he does. Shift them all down a position. Let's go Atiki or Harward or whoever at the center. Foose, let's bump him down to four. And then Lohner to three. And then you got a bigger, more kind of switch to pick and roll kind of defense. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is I like the portal, and I think they're going to have to get a guy. But I don't want to just see every year it's new portal players and then the developmental guys never get an opportunity.
Yeah, that's a fair point because next year's roster really, if some guys don't take advantage of that free COVID year, you could see upwards to seven guys off this team gone. Because you think about Tijon and Alex Barcella, they're going to be gone. But Harward, Spencer Johnson, Gavin Baxter, Gideons, those guys pretty much all could be gone. So it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening there for BYU, the future makeup of the roster. Obviously, you get guys like Dallin Hall coming back from a mission, too, who's going to be a nice player. He's once dubbed by Donovan Mitchell as a hooper.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, maybe next year you don't win the WCC, but is there more to gain by getting Stewart, Hall, these other guys some experience so that they're ready to go for the Big 12?
That's an interesting thought. I mean, Richie Saunders comes back from a mission, too. Tanner Toulson as well, so the BYU pipeline, man, it's good.
You too well, though. You want to dip into that portal.
Oh, I want to absolutely dip into that portal. I love the portal. The transfer portal is one of my favorite creations ever in college sports.
The transfer portal needs some rules on it, though.
I was just about to say,
okay,
that's one thing that would be great. How awesome would it be if we knew there was a blocked off 8-week stretch like NFL free agency?
That's what it needs to be.
100%. That would be amazing for college basketball, for college football, to when you're kind of owning an off-season storyline. And you just know, like, hey, this part of the calendar is roped off for transfer portal
season. For hoops, it's the summer. And for football, maybe there's two. Maybe there's the summer, and then there's a one-week window in January.
This whole thing where any given day there could be portal movement?
No.
It's rough.
It's not good.
These coaches get paid handsomely. So, hey, you should be dealing with these headaches. But same time, you got to have some stability with your roster at some point. And I
think it would help some of the players, too, because
they'd
have to buy in. And as we saw right up the street from us here at Utah, anything can happen during a season. Cam Rising would have – no one would have blamed him if he had hit the portal. He did not. Charlie Brewer did not work out. He leads them to a Rose Bowl. So I think it could help some of these guys who think, oh, I didn't win the job, I got to hit the town. But then circumstances change and – that's where they need to be, and they have success. So I like the portal, too. Keep the portal. The portal is a great thing, but there's got to be some rules and restrictions on this thing.
If only coaches took the Kalani Sitake approach to transfers, this portal probably never happens because Kalani always had that approach of just go. Go wherever you want. It was the coaches that said, well, you can go.
You can go to Hawaii, and you can go down to Abilene Christian.
We're going to block you from 50 different schools. You can go to these ones, though. Like, that's why we have the portal. Yeah. So thanks, coaches, for these demands that you place on athletes, because now it's just a nonstop headache.
It's a zoo.
Hopefully there can be some some guardrails eventually soon, because
how fun would it be as a fan and a media person though to know, hey, January 10 through January 10 is probably too late. Let's say January 1 through January 10, it's open season.
Yeah, I mean, NBA's offseason, July 1, 10:01 p.m., like, that's my favorite time of the NBA, honestly, is free agency. Yeah. I mean, as a Laker fan, like, it's horrendous right now. I mean, we're dealing
don't
with...
Don't even bring them up. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that dumpster fire down in Southern California.
Lakers are a mess. It's a downright mess. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, again, BYU in Portland tonight, 7 p.m. tip. Pregame at 6 here on KSL. We'll wrap things up with a hurry up coming up next. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. By KSLSports.com.
Welcome back in. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Final segment of the show here. Been a great show. Thanks to Gunnar Romney for being generous with his time and being so open and candid. That was a great interview with a significant addition to the BYU football team, who makes that wide receiver room really deep. Without him, I still think you feel good, but now you feel like, oh yeah, we're great. Like, this group is going to be special. You can hear that on our podcast feed. And then Cody Feger, always great to catch up. That I love that BYU basketball staff for many reasons. Number one, they win. But number two, they're so open. I mean, it's, you just get a lot of great information from that basketball staff. So anytime we can have them on, it, it's good stuff.
Yeah, 60 wins through the first 79 games for that staff. They've done a great job since they arrived in Provo. We got to put a bow on the show, though, and we do that with the hurry up. So fire up that music, Matt. NFL Films music. It's fitting. We're watching the NFL playoffs right now. Get some NFL Films. Good stuff. As always, we'll start things off with some BYU football scheduling news. Obviously, with the Big 12 conference looming and divisions coming into play and likely 9 conference games potentially in the Big 12 conference, BYU has to drop a lot of inventory on their future schedules. And the 2024 schedule actually added a game. Reportedly, BYU will be facing Nevada to open up that season. Your thoughts on BYU and the Wolfpack in a one-off money game?
My thoughts are there are 10 other teams in the Mountain West I'd rather play than Nevada. That makes no sense to me. I'd rather host Dixie State than Nevada. There's a point that you make frequently, and I totally agree with it, which is you got to play some regional games. Like, you can't just never be on the West. Mm-hmm. Reno is not a place I care to tap into. So I know that's going to be a home game, right?
Yeah, it'll be a home game.
So, but still, it's just like, I'd rather play Dixie State or Utah State or Boise State or Wyoming, or we could go down the list with the whole. I might prefer New Mexico.
It's kind of shocking though that they're playing Nevada, and it's only costing them $100,000. Now, this is like the first of its kind. We're seeing the ripple effect of Power 5 inclusion, because not very often has BYU had one-off games against FBS teams just in Provo. For it to only cost $100,000 is kind of crazy. I did look something up back in 2008. Nevada canceled the game. If you remember, in 2008, they were supposed to open the season in 2008 against BYU in Provo. And that was the reason why BYU ended up playing Northern Iowa instead, because Nevada canceled the game on such short notice. I don't know if it was that long ago that some ripple effect that was still waiting in the wings to get added, but hey, I mean, BYU and Nevada 2024, it is what it is. You got 9 conference games potentially in the Big 12. I just wonder, I think you still want to have also one marquee Power 5 game in the non-conference. You want that novelty of a Tennessee, a Miami, an NC State, maybe a Utah even.
No, I'd rather, if we're talking West Coast, USC, Oregon.
Let me say this, though. How about this? 9 conference games, is the Utah series in jeopardy, you think?
Absolutely.
I think it might be.
Absolutely. It just wouldn't make sense, you know, to – maybe we're starting to get a feel for how Utah fans have felt for the past 10 years, but it's just – it's – there's other – independence has opened up my eyes to national perspective in college football, and I just like the experiences of going to Tennessee and Texas, and it's not an experience going to Salt Lake. So yeah, if you're restricted on who you can play, that's got to go. So I don't want it to go. Yeah. I like playing that game. I prefer having the rivalry game, but if it comes at the expense of going down to the L.A. Coliseum or right up the street, I'd rather go to the Coliseum.
What makes it difficult is that everyone in college football always plays an FCS game, and BYU probably will be no different, and they're going to realize, hey, if we're going to play nine guaranteed P5s, we're going to play an FCS, we're going to play a Nevada-type team. We're kind of getting an insight into what the non-conference slate will look like. It'll probably be maybe a P5, a mid-tier, low-tier G5, and then an FCS game.
Which I hate. I wish college football would incentivize non-conference scheduling to where you feel comfortable playing that game. Like, I'd love it if Utah could feel like we could play Florida and we could play BYU, yeah, and we could still get into the playoff if it's expanded. That's what's best for college football, but that's not the recipe right
maybe
now.
Maybe what's gonna have to happen is a breakoff of the Power Five. I don't know. Yeah. I hope not, because I love seeing the small guy have a chance, yeah, the underdog fight and compete, but because BYU's been that. Like, BYU's always been that underdog that's been overlooked, and I don't want to see that those type of programs be thrown to the side, but it's just frustrating when, as a fan, do you really want to watch BYU-Nevada, or do you want to watch BYU-Tennessee, BYU-Miami? Like, I want to watch BYU-Miami. Yeah. I want to cover BYU-Miami.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, hey, why is Alabama still playing Mercer? Why is Alabama playing the Citadel? Like, they're going to do that? We're
That's
do
what
that
the system is incentivizing. That's, yep, the problem. All right, should we touch on a few other notes?
Yeah, let's get to the rip.
that was a delay of game on first down there. Sorry. On the hurry up. Number 17, BYU Women's Hoops, having a great season playing San Diego right now. They've had a few postponements due to the pandemic, but this team, come March, I mean, I think they should win the WCC tournament.
Yeah.
And then what are we talking about as a seed here? A three or four?
Yeah, we're talking a three. I think you're going to see a situation. If they continue to win and they don't have a disastrous loss, they might be hosting NCAA tournament games in the Marriott Center.
I would like to see that.
If they're a top four seed,
there's got to be a turnout for that.
They're going to be hosting.
That would be fun.
And that would be awesome to see. This team deserves it. And you know what's interesting, too? The WCC, you know, Jeff Judkins was candid. He flat out said, called out some of these teams earlier in the week, was like, hey, they're using COVID as an excuse. They don't want to play. And he's like, you know what? We are talking with teams and keeping an open line of communication that if we need another game, because we want to keep playing. And what other game, if WCC teams want to bow out due to COVID, we'll play another game. Jeff Judkins said that they had a game with Texas lined up, but Texas couldn't agree on a date, and they were trying to force a Sunday game, and obviously BYU's like, we can't do that. But, you know, Jeff Judkins, he believes that this team can contend with pretty much anyone. And you know what? I believe it, too. You know,
because they're one of the best three-point shooting teams. If they shoot the rock from deep, they can beat anybody.
And they've got so much star power with Shaylee Gonzalez, Paisley Harding, Lauren Gustin, Tegan Graham. This team is good, and they got a 6'7" big in Sarah Hampson. Like, you don't see that in women's college basketball. So they got a shot to maybe go the distance, man. They're that good.
Harvey Longy re-signed with the Patriots. Congrats to him. I didn't see any details on that, but he's going to run it back with the Patriots. More football news for BYU. Campbell Barrington recognized as a freshman All-American, so that offensive line looking stout, looking good for next year.
Here's your tackles. You got Blake Freeland, Campbell Barrington, Harris LeChance, Kingsley Suamataia, Braden Keim. Wow. And if you get Keanu Saliapaga back, wow.
And they got Joe Tukuwafu back. So the interior's looking good. Connor Pay showed nicely, so looking good.
And Clark Barrington, too. Maybe the best NFL prospect on the bunch.
Jeez. All right. Well, he's Mitch Harper. I'm Matt Biamonte for our producer, Dallin Graff, our board op, Dave Meekum. Thanks for listening to another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday. Back next week, and you can follow us everywhere, socials, and we'll keep you up to date on BYU stuff. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.